Well, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and think about the book of Romans for a little bit as we continue studying through that book of the Bible. Recall that the theme statement of the book of Romans is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith." So the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. And the gospel is about the person of Jesus Christ. And we've been studying through the book of Romans, and chapters 1 through 12 is the foundational part of the book. Some might say the doctrinal part of the book. Kind of hesitate to use the word doctrinal because it's all doctrinal. But some make that, they say doctrinal part and practical part. And so I like to use the word foundational. These are the foundational truths that Paul is laying down here in Romans chapter 1 through 11. In chapter 12, he starts the practical part of the book. And by practical, we mean looking at how these foundational principles apply to our lives and what daily Christian living is all about. And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and this is sort of the beginning of the practical part of the book and thinking about what motivates us as Christians on an individual level. And so we see Romans chapter 12, the righteousness of God applied. The righteousness of God applied. And when we apply God's righteousness through Christ to our lives, we will be, number one, a living sacrifice. And that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, we will be a liberal servant. And that is verses 3 through verse 8. And finally, we will be a loving spirit. And that is verses 9 through 21. So let's think about those three things as we read through and study through Romans chapter 12. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 here. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so when we apply God's righteousness to our life, we will be a living sacrifice. Notice the Apostle Paul here says, "I beseech you," or some translations might say, "I encourage you," or "I exhort you." And this is the word meaning standing alongside of someone, putting your arm around them, and giving them a word of encouragement. And when we see this word in the Bible, we find that we are urged to do something. And that is what Paul is saying here. I urge you, I beseech you, I encourage you. By the mercies of God. He has been talking about the mercies of God all through the book of Romans. The revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven is by the mercies of God. The salvation that comes through Christ is by the mercies of God. The death of Christ on the cross is by the mercies of God. In other words, by everything that God has done for us, I beseech you, I ask you, I request of you, I encourage you, I urge you. And what is it that the Apostle Paul is urging us to do? To present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is giving something that is of value to you, something that you consider to be worth something, and giving it away, never to have it come back again. We read in the Old Covenant of the sacrifices that were made at the temple. Those were dead sacrifices. They were given, the animals were given to be killed and then burnt on the altar. Dead sacrifices. But he's not talking about a dead sacrifice here. He's talking about a living sacrifice. Something that is valuable to us. And what is it that we value? Our own bodies, right? The body is the living sacrifice that we are to present before God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we recognize that our bodies are not our own. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 19 and 20, we read, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our bodies belong to God, and they are to be used for God's glory. They do not belong to us, and we are to sacrifice them to Him. The Christian is a living sacrifice. And how is that done? It means that we dedicate or consecrate our life to the Lord. We are not a sacrifice that must die, that is in a physical sense, but we are a sacrifice that must live, a living sacrifice. And how are we a living sacrifice? By putting away the desires of the flesh, by sacrificing the flesh to the benefit of the Spirit. Think about Galatians chapter 5 and verses 24 through 25. It says, "And those who are Christ's," that is, those who are Christians, who are living sacrifices, what have they done? "They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And so something is crucified, something is put to death so that we can be living sacrifices. And that's something is our own passions and desires. The sacrifice of the desires of our body make us holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Can we be pleasing to God? The Bible says we can if we are walking after the Spirit, if we are being a living sacrifice. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16 says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We can be pleasing to God when we are living sacrifices. Being a living sacrifice, then, becomes our spiritual service to the Lord. So, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, the New King James Version says, some other translations say spiritual service. And the idea here is that we are using our minds and our spirits and our souls to serve God. The word reasonable or spiritual means of or related to the spirit. And the word service that Paul uses here refers to the priestly service in the temple. That is to say that God desires our hearts at all times. David wrote this in Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That is what God wants. He wants our hearts. Will we give them to Him? Will we be that living sacrifice? And being a living sacrifice means we sustain a different relationship with the world. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word world here refers to those who are outside of Christ and under the influence of Satan. We are not to conform to what they say or what they believe. Being conformed means to imitate or to be changed into or to be shaped by. If you're familiar with a bundt cake pan, you know that it has a very unique shape. And when you pour the cake batter into the bundt cake pan and bake the cake, that cake conforms to the bundt cake pan. You take the cake out of the pan, and it has that unique shape, that bundt cake shape. That's what the word conformed means, to be shaped just like something else is shaped. Well, what Paul is telling us here is that the world has a shape, and we're not to be in the same shape the world is in. We're to be in a different shape. Christians are not to conform, but be transformed, to be changed into a different shape. And of course, the shape that we're to be changed in is the shape of Christ. John wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." And so to be transformed, we must do the will of God. And that's what Romans 12:2 says here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the making new of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We prove it by testing it in our life, by showing it in our life. And when we are transformed and not conformed, then we demonstrate God's holy will to others. And so, when we're thinking about the righteousness of God, we must recognize that applying God's righteousness means we are a living sacrifice. But then secondly, it means we're a liberal servant. Look at verses 3 through 8. "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. To be changed by the righteousness of Christ means that we will become a liberal servant. Liberal in the sense of freely giving of ourselves to our service, whatever that might be. Service begins with humility. We must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Pride is the enemy of true service. If we are proud, then service will simply be disguised selfishness. We do not want that. We have to eliminate pride and be humble as we seek to serve others. We must be sober in the evaluation of ourselves. Sober here means being in our right mind, having a healthy mind, thinking of ourselves correctly, not being influenced by evil or by fleshly desires. So service begins with humility, and service recognizes that one person can't do it all. We've got to have help. And that's why we have a church or a congregation and not just one person. One body, but many members. Paul uses the illustration of the human body, right? One body, but many members. Fingers, toes, arms, legs, knees, shoulders, elbows. All of those parts. They each have their own function. And so, the members of the church each have their own function. We do not all have the same function. God has set each one in the body as it has pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 12 through 14 teach. And that means that everyone has something to offer. Everyone can do something in service to the Lord. We have different gifts. And God has given these gifts according to his grace. Now, Paul lived in a time when God gave miraculous gifts. But not all of the gifts that he lists here are miraculous. Giving is not a miraculous gift. Neither is showing mercy. But prophecy is a miraculous gift. And so God gave some miraculous gifts and some non-miraculous gifts. And it is up to us to recognize what those gifts are and then to pursue them. Whatever our gift is, we need to pursue it diligently and fervently and liberally. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, Peter writes, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so we serve liberally. And we are supposed to use our gifts toward those means, whether it is ministry or teaching or exhortation or giving or leading or showing mercy. Paul is not exhaustive with the number of gifts that he mentions here. There are others, but it is at least these and more. But our job is to use that in a liberal fashion, to be diligent and fervent in spirit as we apply these gifts. And why is that? Because it takes everyone working together to fulfill God's plan for the body. In the first century, the church needed those miraculous gifts. Paul talked about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. That's a separate study. But today, while the miraculous gifts are ended, we still need teachers, preachers, ministers, exhorters, givers, caretakers, and many other kinds of people to work in the Lord's church. Every single person is needed in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22 says that even those who seem to be weak are actually more needed. He says, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every single person who is in the body of Christ is necessary. No one is expendable. Everyone counts in God's church. And so, as we apply the righteousness of God to our lives, let us be liberal servants. And then finally, let's have a loving spirit. Look at verses 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This whole section is about how we love other people. The lead verb in verse 9 is, let love be without hypocrisy. And then as Paul explains this, he uses a series of words that modify what it means to live a loving life. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, love in a pure way. And how do we love in a pure way? That's what he explains in the rest of this verse. With these various different descriptions of what it means to love. How do we do it? We've got to abhor what is evil. We've got to cling to the good. We've got to be kindly affectionate to one another. We must exhibit brotherly love. We must love honorably and prefer one another. We must not be slothful, but fervent in spirit, not lagging in diligence. We must be enthusiastic. We must serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue steadfast in prayer, distribute to the saints' needs, be given to hospitality, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep, seek unity, that is, be of the same mind with one another. Don't be proud, but be humble. Don't be haughty. Don't be self-absorbed. Do not repay evil for evil. Regard good things in the sight of all men. Acknowledge them and praise them. Live in peace with all men. Do not seek vengeance. Do not be wrathful. Recognize the Lord's work of retribution. Supply food and drink to our enemies. Overcome evil with good. How are we supposed to love one another? If you ever ask that question of yourself, just turn right here to Romans chapter 12, and you'll find this long list of things to do. And if you get started on that list and you finish, let me know, because I'm still not finished with it in my life. And I'd like to know your secret for sure. How do we love one another? It's all right here in Romans chapter 12. And so when we apply God's righteousness to our lives, we will be a loving spirit. Three ways to apply God's righteousness to our lives. First, by being a living sacrifice, not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. By being a liberal servant, using the abilities that God has given us to serve Him and to serve one another. And by being a loving spirit, practicing these particular details within our life and showing God's love to others. Maybe tonight you need to be transformed by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How does that happen? Through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You come into the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and are transformed. And you are renewed. You're forgiven of sin. And now you can start being a servant of God, a living sacrifice, and a loving spirit. Perhaps you'd like to do that this evening. Maybe you need prayers tonight. And if that's the case, we can certainly pray with you and for you. If you have a need, please come and make it known while we stand and sing.